page 1040, and is from Acts chapter 8, beginning at verse 26. And the title is Philip and the Ethiopian, beginning at verse 26 to verse 40. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Candake, which means queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before his shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they travelled along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. This is the word of the Lord.
Sorry, this is a message like you've never known before, I think. So, hi, I'm Liz White, and I'm an everyday member of the church here. When I say member, I'm thinking member generally, rather than a member formally, and welcome, great to have you both as formal members. But we're all members, we all belong together here. So I'm an everyday member of the church here, just like you, and today I am the message. Bear with me and you will see. So, over the last months we've heard about Jesus' death and resurrection, his appearing to the disciples and giving them his great commission. Take the good news everywhere. Start here in Jerusalem, go to Judea, to Samaria and the ends of the earth. Then we heard about his ascension, following which the disciples were rather reluctant to leave Jerusalem. And it took persuasion and persecution, in fact, to scatter them into Judea and Samaria. So today, we're going to meet Philip again. You might remember meeting him last week. So today we're going to call him Persuasive Philip. And we find that he is leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus. I wonder where I've heard that before. Does it sound familiar? Well, this is our mission as well as his. So, who is Philip? Not the Apostle Philip, but just an everyday member of the church, just like you. He was a server of food. Now, have you ever served food or tea or coffee in the church or for the church? Maybe you've been serving at the food bank. Hands up. Well, a few of you need to practice that skill then, but I think some of you are not putting your hands up when you really do. I know some of you haven't put your hands up when you really do that. So actually, Philip was just like you. He did normal everyday things serving God in the church. Maybe we could say he was rather like Howard and Kathy and those who work at the food bank, because he was helping with the food distribution program in the church for the church in Jerusalem. And he was a Greek-speaking Jew, and he was full of the Spirit and wisdom. He served alongside the recently martyred Stephen. Maybe that helped him to focus his mind and his service, realizing the attention and the urgency that there was in spreading the good news. Well, Philip was unlike most of the Jewish Christians, because he didn't limit his audience to just the Jews, but also he went to Samaria. Well, lots of Jews won't go to Samaria because of their prejudices. And I wondered whether his time in the food bank enabled him to grow spiritually and helped prepare him ready for the new ways that God was planning to use him. So, what was he doing? Ooh, that's not very big, is it? I'm sorry. You'll have to kind of like get the idea, and I'll explain where things are. What was he doing? Well, before the passage we read together, or at least you read and I listened to outside, we see that he was in Samaria, geographically in the middle of Israel, between Galilee in the north and Judea in the south. In the past, this area was resettled with foreigners by the invading Assyrians. Now the Samaritans were considered as half-breeds by the pure Jews in the south, and the two groups hated each other. But Jesus said, "Tell them about me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and the ends of the earth." Well, Philip was holding an amazing mission in Samaria. Well, let's just see. I can't see where my things are now. Samaria, up there. Okay. Ah, that's where he's going next. Right. So, in Samaria, this mission, he's preaching, he's performing miraculous signs, he's attracting crowds, he's casting out evil spirits, he's healing the lame. In fact, it was everyday church. Many were believing, and they were being baptized, and they were responding in large numbers. Peter and John were called up from Jerusalem, and they were laying their hands on the believers, and they were receiving the Holy Spirit. Well, Philip was having a really successful mission by any account. And then the angel of the Lord came and said to Philip, "Go south to the desert." The desert? Really? Madness. Right down to the bottom of... I've got a little pointer thing, haven't I? If you can see my pointer, can you see that? I don't know whether you can. It's here. Gaza. Okay. So he set out. I think before, so these thoughts might have been going through Philip's mind. "I don't want to leave. It's going so well. I'm really excited by what you're doing here, Lord. Can't I stay?" "You must be joking. Maybe I'm imagining this. Am I really hearing you right?" "Why, Lord? I've got enough to do here." Or Philip might have even felt proud of his success. Maybe others in the team expressed their surprise, questioned his judgment, or were disappointed with him for not staying with them. We don't know. But what did Philip do? How did he respond to the angel? Well, prompt obedience. He recognized God's leading, he trusted God knew what he was doing, and he did not question him. He set out for a long walk, plenty of time to reflect and to listen and converse with God. Well, my question is, how could Philip respond like this? He spent time with God, getting to know God's voice and learning to trust in the little things. He had learnt to obey in the small steps. Maybe part of that was in the food bank. And he could leave the mission in Samaria in God's hands. He realised God knew best how to deploy his servants, and he trusted even when things might not have matched up with his logic and what he thought was best. Well, what about us? When God asks you to do something that seems like madness, are you ready to step out and obey? Do you recognise his voice? Do you trust without questioning? Do you have courage? God is shaking us up. All right, and he's moving us on to the next stages of the ministry that he has for us. And when God encouraged me a couple of weeks ago to share some words with you, I felt he was saying to me, Liz, step out and do this in the church, because this will help you to grow and become more courageous outside the church. Because inside the church, they love you and they'll forgive you when you make mistakes and you seem stupid, and they will help you to grow. And again today, Liz, I want you to practically demonstrate the message. You need to dress up as a clown. Am I hearing right? Oh no, you must be kidding. I'll leave you to imagine the interesting discussion that God and I have had about this. Well, God needs us to be abandoned to do his will and his plans for the kingdom. Letting go and trusting might mean feeling stupid and self-conscious and having to not mind what other people think of you. What other people think of me when I put my hands in the air during worship, when I speak out, when I reach out to others, even though I'm naturally an introvert and I keep on making mistakes. And when I spend time with people that maybe others have shunned. Little steps of obedience lead us into freedom and help us to grow into bigger, less restricted people that God can use. But pride can stop us from abandoning ourselves to God's plans. It's more comfortable to clap others from the sidelines than it's to be the one who wears the clown costume. So, did you notice that Philip responded holistically? Long word, i.e. with his whole body, not just academically nodding his head, assenting to the idea that he had from the Lord. It involved his feet, his hands, his voice, his whole self. Oh dear, I find this hard, we find this hard. In contrast, maybe I've been found singing, here I am, Lord, arms wide open, because I've got things that hold me back. So how can we do more than just assent in our heads if we don't give our whole selves, our whole body over to Jesus? In worship and service, they're so interconnected. We can express this wholehearted dedication to him by letting him have our whole selves. It isn't very British. It's not very middle class. What's it stopping you from expressing your love and your devotion to God more tangibly? For me, it was pride, self-consciousness, worry about what others would think of me, and not liking being different. I was not free to raise my hands in worship or do many other things. When the worship leader said, you can respond however you would like, you can raise your hands or not, I wasn't free to choose because I hadn't let God into all those parts of my life. Well, those are the things that God and I are trying to put to death in me. The pride, the self-consciousness, the worry about what other people think of me, and the not liking to be different. Okay, because I want to be more obedient. What about you? It might seem like madness, but if we are going to move beyond assent, we might find it helpful to take first small steps to respond publicly to him within the church, whatever age we are, where we are loved and accepted, where we can make our mistakes and help each other grow. I've found that God challenges me to take a little step, however small, and if I step out a little bit, then suddenly I have a sense that the Holy Spirit comes and whisks me off my feet, metaphorically at the moment, not like Philip, but who knows, and releases me from things that inhibit me from responding in obedience and love. So, back to Philip. Philip is trudging down the desert road. Presumably it wasn't very crowded, and he met a man. Well, who was this? This man must have been very dedicated to God because he had travelled from East Africa to worship in Jerusalem. Okay, here we have my Google map. 81 hours by car. Quite a long journey. And he didn't have the joys of first-class air travel. And so he must have been pretty committed. He may have been a Gentile convert to Judaism, and he certainly was an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Queen of Ethiopia. He had a significant position of power and influence, and that would help in the great commission of witnessing to the ends of the earth. But he was also another foreigner, a black man from a different race and a different culture. And he was also in a sexual minority group, not likely to be considered kosher in any sense. So, the man's there and Philip is walking. What happens next? How does Philip respond? He listened to and followed the Spirit's leading. He listened to where the man was at. He was perplexed by the prophecy of Isaiah. He used the opportunity to explain how Jesus Christ fulfilled the prophecies of Isaiah and to share the good news. And he was involved there challenging the man. Excuse me. How could Philip respond like this? Philip knew his Bible and he genuinely cared about everyone. He had been baptizing men and some of the things I've read suggest he's baptizing men and women in Samaria. And Philip, he was quite countercultural. He had four unmarried daughters and they all prophesied. And he encouraged those who would not have necessarily been given opportunities normal in his culture. He was also prepared to cross boundaries. Philip ran up to the chariot, to the man. That too was countercultural. Men walk with dignity. But Philip had a command to obey, and he ran to it. What about us? Are we listening? Listening. Why do I keep emphasizing that? Well, because it's really hard to tune in if you don't make the time and space for listening to God and to keep up the practice. There is so much to distract, and sometimes and some places are more spiritually oppressive, so it's harder to tune in. And it is harder to listen alone. So we need to pray that God would help Andrew and the leadership and each of us to keep hearing God clearly. Will we step out of our comfort zone and use the opportunities to whoever God puts us alongside? Many of you know Ruth Wall, and Ruth shared with me before she went out to Central Asia that she wanted to always be ready to use the opportunities that she had when she was traveling, that she prayed that God would give her opportunities to share with whoever she was sitting alongside on the flights that she has to take so frequently. I found that really practical and stimulated my thoughts about what do I do, how do I look, where do I look for opportunities. Maybe we could embrace God's inclusivity, his love for all, and his desire for all to be part of his kingdom, just like Philip. So, what happened? The Ethiopian believed and was baptized there and then to show that he identified with Christ and the Christian community, a precious signpost in his life, setting him up for what God was going to do in and through him when he got home. Finally, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away. Philip's work with the Ethiopian was done. He could leave the man in God's hands now because he'd done his bit and he trusted that God knew what he was doing. So here we are back on the map. And, let me see. Where's he going next? Well, he goes to Azotus, which is just above Gaza. Okay. Azotus is called Ashdod as well, one of the ancient Philistine capitals. So Philip was on the road to Gaza, and the Spirit transported him. Well, the Spirit won't do things to us or with us unless we allow him to. So Philip didn't resist divine transportation, and he appeared at Azotus, and there was that sense of urgency of bringing the Gentiles to belief in Christ. And he had a nice job, really, because he worked up the coastal road, and his work went up here to Caesarea. And then he probably lived there for the next 20 years, and he was able to offer hospitality in his home to Paul and fellow travellers on one of their journeys. So when we think of being persuasive, we tend to think of people using words persuasively, don't we? But to me, Philip's whole life is persuasive, really persuasive, because he gave his all in obedience. So, everyday church members, let's take a step out of our comfort zone and move towards being persuasive and inclusive disciples who let God use our whole selves, just like Philip. Thank you.
In prayer together, but there was, as Liz was speaking, there were two particular stories that came to my mind. The first one was of King David, when he was called upon to respond to God in a particular way, and he danced before the Lord, and he was fearful of what others would say about him. But David says, "I will be even more undignified than this. God was worthy." When God calls, you respond. And the second story that came to mind was the story of a guy called Francis, lived a long time ago. He was a very wealthy man. He was the son of a very wealthy man. He had everything that he could ever, ever need when the call of Christ came to him. And he sold all of his possessions. And his father was absolutely furious about this, because actually the possessions really belonged to his father. But he was responding to this call, and he was brought before the local bishop. And these accusations came towards Francis. And as Francis stood before the bishop and his father in his loincloth, he recognized that there was one piece of clothing that he still hadn't submitted for the cause of Christ. And so Francis took it all off, and he lay down naked and vulnerable before his father and before the bishop. And to you and me, that sounds like absolute nonsense, absolute shame and terrifying, horrifying ordeal. But you know something? When Christ calls us, he calls us to come and die. He calls us to come and lay it all before him. He calls us to move beyond ourselves and to give our all in obedience to God's Holy Spirit. But we need to ask God for the grace to help us to move in that direction. Let's pray together, then we're going to sing. Lord, we thank you for the example of Philip, who was crazy enough to listen to your voice, to hear your promptings, to be obedient, to go to the places that other people wouldn't consider it right to go, to speak to those that the holy among the community would never dare to speak to. Who dared for his whole life to be shaped around the gospel and the truth that he had found in Christ. Lord, we thank you that for Philip and for all the disciples, the call that they heard was an extreme call to give up their lives for the gospel. And so, Lord, in this moment, we ask that by your Holy Spirit you would come to us and illuminate those things in our own lives, in our own understanding, that we have to lay down before you. Help us to say with King David, I will become even more undignified than this. Help us to recognize with Paul that the gospel is indeed foolishness, but for those who are being saved, it is the pure gift of God. Lord Jesus, you said when you invited to follow us, when you invited us to follow you, to take up our cross. Lord, in those areas of our life where we're not quite feeling the cost, when we're not quite feeling your Spirit move in us, that you would speak, that you would have your way, that you would call us out, and that we might indeed become holy fools, wholly committed to you, abandoned for your cause. Spirit of God, we dare to pray the bold prayer that you would make Jesus central in our lives. And Lord, we recognize that if your kingdom is going to come, then our kingdom, our will, our hopes, our plans, our purposes must bow down before them. Jesus, be the center. Let's stand as we sing. We can make a difference in the world so that we can do what others claim cannot be done, to bring justice and kindness to all our children and the poor. Lord, do it among us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.